Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
6:11 here at CCO. Saturday evening, Noah Esme. We've got the Wolves and the Spurs coming up from San Antonio. Wolves home tomorrow night. Houston in town. Our pregame show at 7 tonight. 5:30 tomorrow here on the radio, home of the Wolves and the Twins. Back to the Vikes. They get Kirk Cousins. Writing was on the wall. There had been a lot of rumors about it. But when you saw Case Keenum go to Denver and you saw Sam Bradford end up in Arizona and Teddy Bridgewater with the New York Jets, you figured Cousins was a done deal. It turned out to be that way. Met the media down in Eagan. And now the question is Cousins a guy? 3 years guaranteed, $84 million. I think the jury is still out on that. He did play for a dysfunctional team, though, in Washington. Owner Daniel Snyder, I don't know if you can say he's the worst owner in the NFL, but since he took over that team, they've had their problems, and there hasn't been a lot of continuity. So I don't know if you can judge Cousins on being a part of a three-ring circus. He has put up big numbers. Question is, can he join a team that made it all the way to the NFC title game? Can he take him to the next level, which is a Super Bowl?
And to me, that's really what this is all about. It's Super Bowl or bust. I mean, if you get back to the NFC championship game, if you're that fortunate but don't go any further, then it's a push. And you're right about Washington. Daniel Snyder's run that thing into the ground. Once upon a time, it was a proud franchise. The days of Joe Gibbs and even George Allen, but it's not even close now. So you look at the numbers for Kirk Cousins, three straight years, over 4,000 yards passing. Last season, 27 touchdowns, 13 picks, but his QBR, 50.5, the lowest he's had as a full-time starter. It's really been an interesting trajectory, Stevie T, for Kirk Cousins. Here's a guy that was drafted the same year as RG3 and Andrew Luck. He came in as a backup for RG3. I remember being in Landover at the game at FedEx Field when RG3 took off on a quarterback keeper, bounced outside around the left side, and went 75 yards to the house against the Vikings. FedEx Field exploded, and everybody thought RG3 was going to be the next Joe Theismann or Bill Kilmer in Washington. He was the answer. Well, it didn't turn out that way. He got the knee injury, and he was gone pretty quick. In comes Kirk Cousins. He took advantage of the opportunity. But what I'm curious about is Washington didn't want to keep him. You know, they made a deal for Alex Smith from Kansas City. So this is an interesting decision. Obviously, the Vikings think they got their guy. They believe he's the missing piece to the Super Bowl puzzle. But what a week it was. I mean, how quickly did the news come out? Bingo, Case Keenum, Denver. Bingo, Teddy, New York Jets. Bingo, Sam Bradford, $20 million to Arizona. I mean, the Vikings had three guys that were coveted by other teams around the league. And the Keenum one, I'm very interested in because John Elway, and we all know about his quarterback history as a player and as a GM and a president running the Denver Broncos, they claim we got our guy. He's the best fit. Now, everybody's saying that right now. I mean, that's the company line. But I want to see how this plays out. It's going to be very interesting.
I am really curious, though, what happened between the Vikes and Case Keenum, because I sense a little bit of disrespect for Keenum in the way all of this was handled at the end. And Mike Zimmer, an off-the-cuff comment, was he the guy who played with the Rams? Or, you know, I don't want to dig too deep into that, but I really feel like Case Keenum came in here, and he was signed as a backup to Sam Bradford. And he did a hell of a job. I mean, I liked what this guy did. The way he was able to move around in the pocket. He made good throws. He seemed to be a good guy. He seemed to be a good teammate. And they were just like, yeah, we're going in another direction. So Kirk Cousins needs to be better than Case Keenum was in 2017, that's not going to be easy. He had a really good run and did an outstanding job in a very tough spot.
Yeah, 22 touchdown passes, 3,547 yards, and only seven picks for Case Keenum. I thought he was magnificent. He won me over because I do remember a year ago with the L.A. Rams. He and Jared Goff weren't very good, but it was a toxic situation out there. Jeff Fisher certainly was not able to coach the guys up, and Keenum leaves, comes here as Sam Bradford's backup, his caddy, and then he gets in, makes the most of his opportunities, his ability to extend plays. And what I like about him is he has that it factor, kind of that moxie you want in a guy. Look, he's not the biggest guy on the field. He's not going to throw the ball 80 yards in the air and make one of those home run heaves that some of these other guys can do, but he has a knack for making plays. But go back to his college career at the University of Houston. Set the NCAA's all-time record for passing yardage. Doesn't get drafted. Doesn't even get drafted. So this has been the MO for Case Keenum his entire career, trying to prove he belongs and win respect. And the Denver Broncos, and John Elway is the guy he idolized as a kid. He had a John Elway poster in his room. Huh. He's going to Colorado, and I'm with you. I don't think the Vikings ever totally embraced a guy who really, in my opinion, deserved a lot of hugs. I thought he had a great year.
Yeah, he did, and I'm a Case Keenum fan.
I'm going to pay
a little bit more attention to Denver, even though it's hard in that late window. On the late games on CBS, you're almost force-fed Denver Broncos football. I'm going to keep a closer eye on Keenum. I'm rooting for this guy.
I'll tell you what, I am too, and I'll take it two steps further. And this is not meant as an anti-Kirk Cousins comment.
No, I'm not.
I wish Kirk Cousins well here, and hopefully he can bring the Lombardi Trophy to Minnesota, where it's only been twice. For two Super Bowl appearances, 26 and 52, and it quickly left town with Washington and Philadelphia. But I'll say this. I want to see Case Keenum succeed because he does seem like a good guy. I hope Teddy Bridgewater someday, once again, here's the chance of Teddy. He's another classy guy. It didn't certainly work out the way we thought it might in Minnesota. So good luck to Teddy in the Meadowlands. And you know what? Good luck to Sam Bradford. If you can stay upright, if you can stay injury-free out there in the desert, the Arizona Cardinals might have a guy they're very happy with.
Well, and he was the NFC Offensive Player of the Week after week one.
It's amazing.
He played great in week one and then went down and was never able to come back. And that's been Sam Bradford's MO. He hasn't been able to stay upright. But, yeah, I mean, I don't have any axe to grind with any of those quarterbacks. It's just interesting to me how quickly they were tossed aside for Kirk Cousins. So he has that to live up to. One other thing that really interests me about all of this, and we've touched on it. In quarters 3 and 4 against New Orleans Saints in the playoffs, the Vikings were terrible. They needed the Minneapolis miracle to get to the NFC title game. They were dreadful in Philadelphia playing the Eagles, the eventual Super Bowl champions. The Vikings finished the year with 6 terrible quarters. It is amazing how they've changed the narrative from what should have been despair. Look how bad the Vikings were for 6 quarters to end the season. They got thrashed in Philadelphia by the Eagles. There's no other way. They were outplayed, outcoached in every phase of the game. Now it's all about Cousins and the hope. It's extraordinary how the Vikings have been able to change a narrative on this thing. It's unbelievable. And Mike Zimmer's hallmark, defense, they were terrible for 6 quarters to end the season. Their final 6 quarters, defensively, they were unrecognizable. That's on Mike Zimmer.
And those were the most important 6 quarters of the season. That's when a defense, if you're elite, that's when you raise your game. And that's when you perform in those high-stakes battles. And they did not. And that's why I still can't, at this point in time, call the Vikings defense elite. Elite defenses do what Denver did 2 years ago when you had a broken-down Peyton Manning at quarterback and it took a Von Miller and a DeMarcus Ware to basically push yourself through the playoffs and win a Super Bowl and beat guys like Ben Roethlisberger, Tom Brady, and Cam Newton on your way to doing it. Minnesota didn't do that in crunch time. I totally agree with you, and it'll be interesting to see how the Viking defense responds, because I'll guarantee you every other coach in the NFL now has a copy of the way Doug Peterson and the Eagles attacked that Minnesota Vikings defense.
They maybe got some help, and Sheldon Richardson will bring that up when we come back. We'll still talk Wild. Get you ready for the Wolves at San Antonio. Our pregame show at 7 here on the CCO.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
6:25 here at CCO. Now, the Vikings defense, Mike Zimmer's defense, atrocious in the final six quarters. Third and fourth against the Saints. All four quarters in Philadelphia, blown off the field, very lucky to win the Saints game, and humiliated by the Eagles in the NFC title game. But they get an improvement. Sheldon Richardson comes in, and this was kind of lost in the Kirk Cousins shuffle. It's a pretty big deal.
Well, Sheldon Richardson is a guy that had a lot of success with the New York Jets and the Seattle Seahawks. He came in as a rookie in 2013. And he was the NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year. So they think he's going to be somebody who can anchor that defensive line in the middle, gum things up. And it's not all about sacks. I know one thing Mike Zimmer said, and I agree with him on this. His sack numbers aren't that high. But he says, we're not really a sack team. It's about quarterback pressure. And I'm totally on board with that because it's not always sacks. Sometimes it's deflections or hurries or getting a guy off his mark and forcing him to throw the ball before he wants to. And so that's what Sheldon Richardson should be able to do. Because the Vikings can't just rely on Everson Griffin, who's an outstanding player, one of the top defensive ends in the NFL. They got to get him some help as far as pressuring the quarterback, caving in the pocket. So Richardson could be the guy. And I kept hearing stuff about his character. And then you read what he actually did. It was speeding tickets, things like that. That comes off to me more as immaturity than a problem. Now, I don't know the guy. I wish him well here in Minnesota. But I think that looks like a pretty good signing by the Vikings. Look, the Vikings, for what, the 55th straight year, have won the offseason?
Yeah.
Are they the offseason champs already?
Oh, and I know on draft day.
Crown them, baby.
They're going to get everybody they wanted.
The history of this franchise is so fascinating, and they're so star-crossed. I mean, they've done everything but win the Super Bowl. You go back and look at the history of guys they brought in, especially at the quarterback position. Once upon a time, it was Joe Capp. This is the guy. And it almost was. He took him to a Super Bowl. Then it's Fran Tarkenton. It almost was. He took him to three Super Bowls. Then it's Tommy Kramer. Then it's guys like Dante Culpepper or Warren Moon or Brett Favre or Sam Bradford or Teddy Bridgewater. They always think they have the guy, but it hasn't quite worked out that way.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be very interesting to see because they have ramped up the expectations. And I know every team in town wants to build hope. The Loons, Major League Soccer, Minnesota United FC, second year, building expectations. They had 23,000 show up for their home opener. Minnesota Lynx have titles, you know, that what do they need to prove? You know, win another title. It's been magical. But every year, the Twins, the Wild, the Timberwolves, that's part of the deal. You know, build excitement. But the Vikings are in a whole different realm. No matter what happens the season before, it is extraordinary how much optimism there is around. For me, who was born in 1964, down I-94 at Bethesda Hospital in St. Paul, I don't understand it sometimes. Look at the way they finished the season. Look at the way they finished the season. Was 2017 a mirage? Did they get something out of a journeyman more than they expected out of Case Keenum? Maybe Case Keenum in Denver will come down to earth and show that he's just a journeyman and an average guy. But the Minnesota Vikings, on the flip side, what did they really prove in 2017? They had a pretty good regular season. They got very lucky to beat the Saints. Very, very lucky. I've argued you could play that play 1,000 times and the Saints win the game 999 times. For sure it's a 99 out of 100.
Well,
deal.
No question.
So they don't even get out of that home game in the divisional round against New Orleans 99 times out of 100. But they did. And then they went and got absolutely obliterated by the Eagles in Philadelphia. Well, that's the part I still can't shake. This is a group that got obliterated by the Eagles in Philadelphia.
Well, they've lost six straight NFC title games. We know about the four Super Bowl losses. And it's funny, too, because you bring up the walk-off, the miracle play. I mean, that's Minnesota's Franco Harris immaculate reception play. And yet Case Keenum, who was on the front end of it, delivering the ball to Stephon Diggs, gone. I mean, produced maybe the most magical moment in Minnesota Vikings history, certainly top three, top two, gone. They didn't want him for whatever reason. And here's where I don't like. Look, Denver's going to give him, what, $18 million? And Minnesota's going to give Kirk Cousins around $28 million? I'd have taken Case Keenum back for $18. Again, you and I agree. He's a football player. He may not look the part. He may not be out of central casting when you're trying to draw up a quarterback for a movie, like Remember the Titans or something. He's not 6'4", 220. He doesn't throw the ball from the 6'5", 1 to the 6'1", 2 area code. He's not that kind of guy, but he's a winner. At least he was last season. And the other thing we gloss over, and it doesn't matter. It happened. It's the way it played out. But remember, the most valuable player in the division went down with an injury, Aaron Rodgers of Green Bay, right here in Minneapolis at U.S. Bank Stadium. So that also helped Minnesota win the division. If Aaron Rodgers is healthy, the Vikings probably still win it, but it certainly changed the whole texture of the season.
6:32, 49 degrees, fair skies. We'll have a weather update. We still got to talk Wild. They get a big win in Vegas over the Golden Knights. A lot of Wild fans in the building. I tuned into that for a while. It was extraordinary when Zucker got that goal. It was pretty neat.
I think a lot of Minnesota Wild fans, when they saw the date on that game, circled it and said, let's go out to Vegas. And I'll bet a few of them are down in Glendale tonight in Arizona. That's an easy road trip to two warm weather destinations in March. That's a no-brainer. You got to do that if you're a big-time Wild fan.
Oh, for sure. 6:32 here at CCO. 21 minutes down, front of 7 here at CCO. Steve, Eric, Jonathan hanging out. We'll get another tournament scoreboard going before 7 o'clock. John Folkey straight up 7 o'clock. Our pregame show, Alan Horton with all the play-by-play. Always does a phenomenal job. Wolves and Spurs. Rockets in town tomorrow night. Our pregame 5:30 tip 6 o'clock. Don't forget, Twins on the radio tomorrow. They battle the Phillies in Fort Myers. We'll start at noon following the sports huddle with Sid and Dave. Wow. Big weekend with the Twins and Wolves here on CCO. Loons get a victory, Eric, 2-1 today. Home opener. I know you were at the first ever home opener a year ago. It's still March. I mean, it wasn't 75 degrees, but I'm sure it felt a whole lot better in the sun at TCF Bank Stadium for all the supporters.
Yeah, the home opener a year ago was a mini blizzard against Atlanta United FC. And, wow, what a difference a year makes, not only weather-wise, Stevie T, but in the standings. I know it's real early. You got 34 matches in the regular season. But Minnesota United, 2 wins, no draws, 1 loss right now. 6 points. That's the same as Vancouver and the brand-new Los Angeles Football Club in the Western Conference. So they are tied for first points-wise. And you think about that, two of the three teams with those 6 points, L.A. didn't exist a year ago, and 2 years ago Minnesota did not exist. And let's take it a step further. Your reigning ML Cup champion Toronto FC lost today to Montreal. They don't have a point all year. Again, real early,
yeah.
But there's reason for optimism. Minnesota United has a good start, and their only other loss was 1 goal to San Jose opening night.
And they had a key guy go down with injury at Orlando City. That was a big blow for this club. But it is a turnaround from a year ago. This year they opened at San Jose. They showed some fight. Almost got the draw on the road in the opener. They fell behind 3-0, made it 3-2, and had opportunities to make it 3-3 late in that match. Then they win at Orlando City, a big one for Adrian Heath, the head coach. Then they come home in front of a big crowd. And I talked to Chris right on Thursday night when I was sitting in for Mike on Sports to the Max, and he said they are not going to open the upper bowl until potentially later in the year. They want to make sure they sell out the lower bowl, create the proper atmosphere, and of course they're building to 2019 in Allianz Field. Season ticket numbers continue to trend upward. Who knows? They might, get to 14,000-15,000 full season tickets before this 2018 campaign is over. So things are really trending in the right direction as they continue to build. And people love winning. I don't care what the sport is. You look at the Minnesota Lynx and what a draw they've been. They spent a year over in St. Paul. The crowds went up. They win titles. They're coming back to a new look Target Center this spring and summer. The crowds are going to respond. And I think even in a town with this much going on sports-wise, Vikes number one, you've got the Twins, you got the Timberwolves, you've got the Wild. There's room for the Loons and the Lynx. They have carved out a very nice niche.
And I like the template they have and what their parent has, Major League Soccer. It's been slow and steady growth. They don't, overbuild in terms of the new venues. Capacity is usually anywhere from 18 to 22,000. Most teams play in those soccer-specific venues with the exception of a few. So I totally agree. I think they already have a niche here. And I drove by Allianz Field the other day. I was on my way to Wisconsin Dells, and you can't miss it. It's right between the downtowns, I-94 and Snelling, technically in St. Paul, the Midway area, up the Green Line. It's going to be a gem. And, it was another reminder to me here in this sports-saturated market, the Twin Cities, the explosion of venues we've had in the last, 8-9 years. When you think about it, now you've got a brand new soccer stadium going up. I took a sneak peek out at the Twin Cities Performance Orthopedic Center yesterday in Eagan on my way back from Wisconsin because I hadn't been out there yet and I wanted to see it. And that thing is a Taj Mahal, as the Vikings have already told us. And there's probably nothing like that in the NFL. And you look at Target Field is still relatively new. And XL Energy Center is probably the oldest thing we have now, along with Target Center. But Target Center just had a renovation. You've got TCF Bank Stadium, U.S. Bank Stadium. So there's been so much activity as far as building new venues here in the Twin Cities. And let's not forget the Mayo Clinic Square, which now the Wolves and the Lynx play there and train there and headquarters. And the Minnesota Wild had their own practice facility in downtown St. Paul. We are the land of 10,000 venues.
Yeah, it is amazing. And speaking of stadiums, Adrian Heath spoke to the media following the game. Our own Kevin Reed, producer of Sports Saturday and Sports Sunday, was in attendance.
I thought our support was magnificent again. At the end, nobody's left. The Wonderwall thing is getting bigger and better. More and more people joining in. And as I've said, it's to generate the atmosphere that we do in the stadium, where they only are full. Wait till the stadium's full next year. People know it's going to be good. I don't think they realize how good it's going to be. So book early. Get your tickets, folks.
Yeah, I just think Allianz Field and all the renderings and talking to Chris Wright, I think this is going to turn into one of the hottest tickets in town. Word's going to get out on what they're building over there, and it's got a good vibe. I mean, I think they've brought in younger people. The model is pretty exciting, and I think this is going to turn into a very tough ticket over in the Midway area of St. Paul.
They're going to be trendy. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I think soccer is a sport where the arrow is clearly pointing up. I think you have a unique demographic here in the Twin Cities, a lot of youth soccer, high school soccer. So you have those kids who have grown up with it. And we have a tremendous immigrant population here. We have people who have come from other parts of the world where soccer is king. That's the game they grew up watching. So I think you'll have a vibe and a mix. You already have it at TCF, and you'll have it over there at Allianz Field. And the other thing I love about Allianz Field is they have their name attached to other stadia around the world. And we're not talking just other cities. Bayern Munich, London, Sydney, Sao Paulo, St. Paul. Allianz does not attach itself to anything that they don't think is worthy. And I found this out when they came up with the naming rights. You've got this unique Golden Valley Triangle, Stevie T, where Allianz Insurance is based there. They've got the skyscraper off I-394. Mortenson Construction, which is like the stadium gurus where they build all these venues around the country. Mortenson's building Allianz Field, and they built a number of the ones here in the Twin Cities. And then Minnesota United's headquarters are in Golden Valley. So you have this Golden Valley Triangle It's a cool homegrown thing, and I totally agree with you. I think what we're going to have next year with Allianz Field, the head coach Adrian Heath is probably right. Better get your tickets now, and they're going to have a cap at about 19,000-20,000. They can't sell anymore, unlike TCF, where you've got potentially 50K if they ever had to get that high.
Yeah, and Chris Wright was saying they're going to probably cap the number of season tickets somewhere in that 14 to 15 range, the way it's sounding. So they have single games available for each match throughout the year for groups, et cetera, and people to get involved. All right, quick break. We'll talk Wild. They're in Arizona tonight. They have not fared well against the Coyotes this season. They had a big win in Vegas 4-2 over the Golden Knights. And we'll try and squeeze in some tournament scores as well. NCAA tournament. Round two underway for the men. The women continue Minnesota at Oregon in round two late tomorrow night. Quick break here on the CCO.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
9 minutes now in front of seven here at CCO. All right, Wild in Arizona tonight. What's going on? Why can't the Wild beat the Arizona Coyotes? They got it done in Vegas, beating the Golden Knights 4-2. The Wild on an uptick, look to be in very good shape to get to the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. That was kind of in doubt a while back with their ups and downs. But I think it would go a long way if they are able to find a way to beat the Coyotes tonight.
Oh, no question. But one of the reasons why they've struggled is the Coyotes aren't as bad as they used to be. I mean, they had a horrible start, Stevie T. They won 7 of their first 36 games. Ooh. So they were buried early out there in the Pacific. But they've gotten hot. They're 11-4-2 in their last 17 games. So this is a much different Coyotes team than what we saw early in the season. And the Wild have found it out the hard way. And look, they are saying now in the NHL, one of your tougher back-to-backs is the Vegas-Glendale run. So, you know, goodness knows what the Wild did in Vegas. Obviously, it didn't affect them on the ice last night. They got a win. Jason Zucker returns home. First ever Nevada-born player in the NHL gets a goal and an assist. That's a good win for Minnesota, no question. Vegas is a solid team. Now, how do they respond in Arizona? Because a week ago, they won the game in Vancouver on a Friday. Next night, Edmonton, not so good. And the Oilers are down on the totem pole as well.
They're going nowhere.
But I think you and I saw the highlights of the game. I think you may have actually watched it. But the Minnesota fans at T-Mobile Arena, that was kind of cool to see. How many of them were just probably giddy they could be in Vegas and watch their team play?
Yeah, and I think you're going to see more and more leagues. Yeah. The NFL is going there. I don't think the NBA is far behind. I really believe because of that, you're going to get a lot of folks out of town. All right, for the Wild, though, big game tonight. They're in third now in the division. They're not going to catch Winnipeg. Nashville's already clinched a spot in the playoffs. They have 104 points. They're just running away. But they're only three ahead of Colorado and Dallas, who are the wild cards right now. Anaheim on the outside looking in with 84 points. So it's not a done deal for the Wild. So getting a point, hopefully two, in Glendale tonight will bode well with just 11 to go in the regular season. They need it.
Yeah, they need to come back with two. Let's not forget on Monday they take on the LA Kings, who are in a similar spot like Minnesota, battling to try to get more points and solidify their playoff positioning in the West. And so it's a little bit like the Timberwolves. It's funny how the Wild and Wolves situations almost parallel, that they all this success at home and a lot of struggles on the road. But, if Minnesota loses tonight's DVT, you would be swept by Arizona. So that's a wash for having swept Vegas. In other words, you got to win tonight. You need a regulation too.
Yeah, they got to find a way to beat the Coyotes. All right, we only have a little bit of time, Jonathan Lowe, though. Why don't you squeeze in some scores from the tournament, the men's and women's NCAA underway.
Thank you, Steve. We will go quick on this. Let's start with the NCAA men's tournament, second round action. About 6 minutes to go in the second half. Loyola Chicago leads Tennessee 53-48. First half, about 3:30 to go until halftime. Seton Hall is up on Kansas, 24-21. Finals from earlier today, Villanova defeats Alabama, 81-58. Duke defeats Rhode Island, 87-62. Kentucky beats Buffalo, 95-75. Coming up later on, in just a few moments, Ohio State will take on Gonzaga. In about an hour, Florida takes on Texas Tech. And in about 2 hours, Houston takes on Michigan. Women's college basketball, their tournament, day two of round one. Connecticut is a winner. Mississippi State, those two top seeds are winners. Upsets, you have Creighton about to beat Iowa in that upset possibility. Also, Central Michigan and Buffalo and Florida Gulf Coast, they are upset winners in the first round today. One other score, about 15 seconds left. Wisconsin Oshkosh is going to be just short. They were down 77-72 to Nebraska Wesleyan. Again, 15 seconds left in the Division III men's championship game.
All right, we got to run. We got the Wolves coming up. From San Antonio, Timberwolves and Spurs tonight. John Folkey at 7. Alan Horton with all the play-by-play a little after 7:30 here in the home of the Wolves, CCO.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.